Top of the evening to you, and welcome to another episode, installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jazz specifically, Ben Webster Quartet, 1953. Danny Boy. Webster was known at that time as the King of the Tenors. Hope you've enjoyed it. Something just a wee bit different on this special day now, don't you know? One can only imagine what is going on in the White House tonight. You think they're doing an Irish jig, would you now? Oh, well, don't choke on that one. Please, you make out of it what you will. Apparently, our illustrious leader has now discovered that he's part Irish. Oh, God. The depths this guy won't go to claim he is something he's not, beginning with the citizenship aspect of things. Oh, my Lord. You did great, Bill. Thanks a lot, man. Well, another day in the pen. That's what we're all in, is the pen in one form or another. We're once again being given mixed economic signals. We're told that the jobs market shows further signs of healing. And therefore, the stock market closed up today. Upbeat economic news, would you now? Up 161 points to close at 11,774. The NASDAQ was up a little over 19, ending their day at 2636. S&P 500 was up. Well, yours, would you know? It's 1680, up 1684 to close at 1273. And yet, we realize that the yen has risen sharply against the dollar. Consumer prices are climbing in February. Real estate market is still an abysmal. It's in the tank and going further in the tank. Why in the hell would the markets keep going up? Oh, that's right. I read very, very late last night, or was it early this morning now, that the Fed pumped another $7 billion into the market. Oh, not into the market directly. They bought another $7 billion worth of treasuries. Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, breaking news. United Nations has approved airstrikes. No-fly zone against Libya. Military action against Muammar Gaddafi's forces is expected to begin within hours. So here we go again. My God. Stay with us, won't you? We've got a lively program lined up for you this evening now, lads and lassies. We shall be back.
March of my life has been spiced with romance. Too many bedrooms.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
UN now, in essence, declaring war against Muammar Gaddafi is once again shows the imperialist nature of many nations around the world, including Great Britain, France, United States. We were the three spearheading nations that wanted to force this issue. Of course, Great Britain, in the scheme of things, is the one who back in the 1920s began to formulate what would eventually become the current Middle East setup with all the warring nations against each other. Go see Lawrence of Arabia. You'll better understand it. Rent it. Buy it. I don't much care. Working late last night on the headlines for today's Republic Trading Group International.com website, we came across one particular column that I felt was worthy of a portion of this program tonight, a portion because of the fact that we will have a guest joining us at the bottom half of the hour. A gentleman who's been a contributor in many, many respects to this network, RBN. And a supporter in many ways, financially to some degree, and certainly also as a continual contributor to numerous programs as a individual who calls in. And we'll get you there when the time comes. But amongst the headlines that we came across is a question by Bill Bonner. Bonner is asking, who will buy the bonds that Japan will need to sell? His answer, he claims, is likely to be no one. Which brings us to Simon Black's commentary entitled, Possibly the Last Time to Get Out of the Dollar. Now, it's no secret to any of us that the United States government owes a pretty penny to foreigners. Certainly, what America owes to foreigners pales in comparison to what it owes to Ben Bernanke, but still, $4.45 trillion and growing ain't no small number. Even in these crazy times when terms like gajillion bajillion are more appropriate to quantify debt and entitlements. Now, China, as we all know by now, is the largest foreign buyer of U.S. treasuries at about $1.15 trillion in holdings. Japan has been the second largest at about $886 billion. Well, curiously enough, the trend for China has been down. The so-called Middle Kingdom has been steadily reducing its position since peaking in October of 2010. But Japan, on the other hand, has been steadily increasing its treasury holdings over the same time period. Its government does have a long pattern of what we would call currency intervention. And there's been much grumbling in Tokyo about the effects of the strong yen on their exports. Now let us fast forward to this past weekend. Earthquake, tsunami, volcano, nuclear radiation. Japan clearly now has other things on its mind than to continue financing the ongoing largesse in Washington, D.C. At a minimum, my friends, Japan will likely slow or eliminate its U.S. Treasury purchases, instead focusing on dumping money into its own economy. At greater risk, Japan may choose to allow much of its Treasury portfolio to simply mature, requiring the U.S. government to repay tens of billions of dollars of principal, which it doesn't even have. And so with so much uncertainty, many investors around the world are buying treasuries at the moment. So if Japan starts selling its portfolio into that momentum, the impact may be, well, it may be negligible for now. Rearranging the deck chairs on the deck of the Titanic, if you will. Now, come mid-year, June 30th, with the supposed end of the I'm not printing money money printing that we know as quantitative easing too, the U.S. government will have lost, in theory, two of its biggest buyers, the Federal Reserve and Japan. And with both China and the OPEC nations slashing their own treasury purchases, it leaves one simple question: who will buy all of this government debt? I share with you now some of the possible outlets. First of all, U.S. commercial banks. I mean, they got plenty of cash and are partially owned by the government anyway. The Treasury Department could easily influence banks to increase their net bond purchases, and this would have the effect of crowding out, once again, small businesses and individuals' access to credit. Secondly, retirement accounts. Hey, they're all in big trouble. Let's go ahead and pick up some treasuries, huh? I mean, there's $5 trillion worth of fresh meat available in U.S. retirement accounts. It would be nothing for the Congress to pass a law requiring money managers to allocate a portion of their onshore retirement accounts to the, quote, safety and security, end quote, of U.S. treasuries, at which time you can kiss your retirement savings purchasing power goodbye. Of course, there's always higher taxes. I mean, that's a given, unfortunately. It is erroneous to conclude that higher tax rates yield higher tax revenues, and yet this is the standard mantra of politicians across the board. Higher tax rates reduce incentives to invest. Not just incentives, higher tax rates reduce the ability to invest or to take risks or create wealth. And subsequently, economic activity fails. Of course, then there's always default. We could paint China as the root of all evil, the great yellow peril, the real reason behind America's financial decline. Oh, find any plausible reason to single out China and default on the debt that they own. Of course, I think that's possible down the road, but it would take a few years of preparatory political jockeying to pull it off. But what is the most likely? Is quantitative easing free? Oh, yeah, baby. It's coming back like a bad Stallone franchise that just won't go away. The lender of last resort will once again be the last resort for the U.S. government. And after a brief period of dollar strength from reduced risk tolerance, investors will realize that the world ex-Japan did not, in fact, come to an end. And they will resume the long-term trend of selling dollars for precious metals in more stable currencies. Australia's done it, Singapore, probably Japan. And so, my friends, the next few months may prove to be the best and last time to get out of the dollar. The number of people I speak with that just are scared to death. Their money is sitting in the bank because their wife or their husband doesn't get it unless it's pieces of printed digits on a piece of paper that comes from the bank. It's called a statement. I had lunch with a banker at a trust officer, a friend of mine, this morning around noon, and we got talking about all these issues. It's balancing a portfolio. There's absolutely no two ways about it. There are those who claim that there are silver linings in this quagmire in Japan. I don't quite know what they would be. Interesting commentary here. I'm going to save this one for next week. Got a good friend who will be joining me on the air next week. No, not Bill, although I'm working on getting Bill back as well, Granny. That's kind of like, you know, anytime we're ready for it. Just much going on. Bingo, that saves that one. Very interesting column called, Do You Know Someone Who Is Broken Free? Yeah, I do. And he's going to be a guest with us next week. Speaking of that, we, in this country, tend to not learn from the mistakes of others. What about Argentina? Shortly before I became a professional broker in dealing with most things, gold and silver and platinum, etc., Argentina collapsed. Massive economic collapse in Argentina. And it's done it at least one other, if possibly two other times since. But they seem to manage to bounce back. Something interesting going on there. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. Something really interesting in Argentina. Simon Black says that there's not too many things in the world that he worries about. This is the way I have my life structured, makes me feel confident and prepared to deal with whatever might come my way. Well, we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
I hate to see that evening sun go down. I hate to see that evening sun go down.
Cause my baby, he... Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Buddy, can you spare a dime? Richard Connick Group. Talking about Simon Black, giving us some interesting comparisons or some lessons that can be learned from the crash of Argentina. And to, in order to shorten this up, because we, you know, obviously in a few minutes we have a guest joining us and he's on the line now, but he's going to sit tight for another 7 minutes or so. The reality is that Simon talks, because he no longer lives in this country, but he travels back to this nation quite often. And, you know, one of the biggest things going on at the airports now for people who travel in and out of the United States a lot is that they're trying to sell you a $100 package so that you can get, you know, quick entry and not have to go through the normal standing in line with the customs and getting felt up and all this nonsense. And of course, they not only charge you $100, but what happens is you got to go through some DNA junk and biometric data, answer a whole bunch of questions through an interview. And Simon says, but he thinks it's all kind of funny. The government was trying hard to pitch their product. But once he got free of customs, the car service that he uses to pick him up, it was there right on time. And within minutes, we were headed for the Midtown Tunnel. Well, this is through in New York, while the haunting sounds of Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross playing in the background. He says, my driver, a garrulous Argentine from Buenos Aires, chatted with me in his native Spanish, a notable variation on the language due to its numerous vocabulary differences and French-sounding phonology. As it turns out, Diego is quite adept at planting multiple flags. He had been a police officer in Buenos Aires in the 90s, a time in which the city was among the safest in the Western Hemisphere, and being a cop was a decent profession. Now, Argentina's economy turned for the worse in 2000, completely collapsing later that year, and under tremendous pressure to maintain an unrealistic currency peg and fight recession and pay its swelling debts, the government defaulted on its debt obligations, devalued the peso, closed banks, and confiscated every centavo of private funds they could find. Well, blood ran in the streets. Protesters in Buenos Aires staged huge riots demanding change. In a response, President Fernando de la Rúa turned Gaddafi on them, sending, well, it doesn't mean he turned Muammar Gaddafi, but his attitude. Gaddafi becomes a word for attitude. Fernando de la Rúa turned Gaddafi on him, sending police and military into the streets to engage the protesters. Oh, no, it was not Argentina's finest hour. By no means a good time to be a police officer in Buenos Aires. Diego wasn't around for it. He told us that he saw firsthand how the initial signs of the recession were wearing down society. Rising crime rates, increased homelessness were everyday occurrences on his beat back in 1998. That's not that far ago, long ago. His first step was in establishing a foreign bank account in neighboring Uruguay. My friend down in Argentina, listen to this. He did an exact reversal of what you did to get out of this country. So Diego sets up a foreign bank account in Uruguay. Good fit, since they spoke his language, it was easy to get to. This was in the days before September 11th. Diego told me how he'd hopped on a friend's boat with several other people headed for Uruguay without declaring their cash hoard. Gee, it sure must have been nice. Spent the rest of the year researching places to escape to, and when things began to turn in 1999, Diego headed to New York City. At the time, the U.S. economy was doing very well. Argentina was on the visa waiver program. It was easy for him to gain entry and apply for residency. Well, in time, he applied for naturalization in the United States, not because he found himself swelling with pride for his newfound home, but because it helped reduce his uncertainty. I was already here paying these crazy taxes, so I thought, I'll go ahead and apply for citizenship. I thought that having a second passport would give me more options. Well, he's right. It's a simple, common-sense approach to uncertainty. Reducing concentration and exposure to any one single government reduces risk and provides more options to be able to better deal with uncertainty. So I share all of this with you for two reasons. Number one, a portion of this, talking about the ability to have a second passport and to be able to get out of Dodge when the going is when it's needed. And that'll kind of set us up for our visit with my good friend Raj next week here on the program. But to go back and take just a moment and use another portion of this column as somewhat of a setup for our guest that'll be joining us in just a few moments. And he talks about how Argentina's economy had turned for the worse in 2000. Collapsing later that year. Remember, under tremendous pressure to maintain an unrealistic currency peg, fight recession, and pay its swelling debts, the Argentine government defaulted on its debt obligations, devalued the peso, read dollar, closed the banks, and confiscated every centavo of private funds they could find. These things become unnerving. Could what has happened in Argentina so many times happen in this country? And if so, how will have you best prepared to combat that type of thing? I don't mean putting on your combat boots and getting your rifle and running out on the street, although God knows, heaven forbid, that it should happen. But the reality factor is, will you have taken the necessary steps to be able to survive economically, to be able to put food on your table, to be able to put gas in your tank if there's any gas left to buy? What will you do with your gold and silver? You're going to let the bad boys grab it? You're going to shut up about it? How many times have I dealt with so many of you over the years and I've said, you buy it, you put it away, you shut up about it, you bring it out when you need it? Oh, but it's too high price now. I can't afford it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Oh, that's one never bothered me. I prefer the darkness anyway. In the darkness, more people go inside and get the heck out of my way, and I can go out and enjoy it without the crowds. Welcome back to tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett here. We at RBN, as many of you know, I don't take a lot of callers on the program. It's not that I have a fear of doing so. I just find that with a one-hour program, it's rare that I don't have more than ample information to fill up an hour. By the time you factor in the breaks and the music bumpers, et cetera, you wind up with little time to dispense whatever information and guidance that you're trying to give out. There is a exceedingly large supportive audience that we have out there, and many who support this network financially, others who support it in other ways. We've got and I've noticed, because as I fill in for John many, many times, we'll have the same callers week after week after week, and I suspect they're not just calling in on John's program, but many of the other programs on the network. And when I was on with John the other day, the date Bob Chapman was out, I received an email from a gentleman who I think we've had some comments on the air before together, and he has offered to come on the program. He happens to be someone who lives north of the American borders, but he's still on the North American continent, I guess. Bruce from Ottawa, thank you so much for joining me on the program tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeff. How are you this evening?
I think I'm going to make it. It's been a harrowing week for me, but you know what? That's just part of life. We live with it. We deal with it. We just move on to the next stage of whatever happens to be planned for us.
Jeff, I think it's been a harrowing week for everyone.
Well, you know, I guess you're right, and I think that I watch, you know, all this news about what's going on in Japan. Certainly, the largest share of the discussion happens to be about the nuclear reactor, and of course now we even have our own Uncle Remus promising us that there's absolutely no fear of any radiation ever meeting these shores, and oh, even Hawaii and Alaska are completely safe. And of course, let's not forget Obama couldn't possibly let radiation hit his home state.
Of course not.
and
papers,
yet,
please.
Yeah, and yet some of the economic issues I bring up, which I've discussed yesterday as well, this business about Japan is going to have a massive expense to rebuild. Now, insurance companies are going to pick up a certain portion of that, but it's still not going to cover everything. Because when it comes down to it, insurance companies they collect it, but they damn sure don't want to pay it out. So what is the feasibility, in your opinion, of Japan being forced to sell out of a lot of their U.S. Treasury holdings?
Well, I think that's going to be a given, unless they're just going to print money as well, you know, and hang on to their Treasury holdings and print money. I can't see them doing that. So I think it's a high probability that you're going to see the Treasuries get whacked. And, you know, I mean, we can already see, you know, as everybody, you know, we've been talking about this, and you hear it on various programs, including your own, that, you know, Bill Gross from one of the world's largest bond funds has liquidated his position in U.S. Treasuries. You know, I mean, the writing's on the wall. The writing is on the wall.
Well, as I discussed Bill Gross's PIMCO situation last week, the thing that becomes interesting, if he's unloading the Treasuries, I want to know who bought them. You can't just wake up one morning and say, I'm divesting all of these things out of PIMCO's portfolio. There's got to be a buyer somewhere.
That's right.
Who's buying them? Is this like a, I'm going to blank here for a moment. Is this a factoring where somebody's only picking them up for 60 cents on the dollar? I just don't know. There was never any reference to who bought them. Did the Fed buy them back?
Yeah, well, probably. Or else he discounted them off and heavily sold them out. But the point is that for him to come out and do something like this, or for it to be reported and then rumored, and then he comes out and confirms it, and then he lambastes the Fed on several occasions over the last couple of months and their quantitative easing policies. For him to come out and do that, that's like, you know, it's when Bill Gross speaks, everybody listens, you know, the old commercial that used to be on for the stockbroker.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for him to do that, he knows the effect of this. They know the effect of this. So, I mean, I don't think people playing at this level of the game arbitrarily just do these things without, there's a whole lot of backroom dealing and machinations go on. I would be inclined to think that, you know, this is part of a broader move into something that's going to take place.
Well, I think that over the last 4 to 6 weeks, I think that there are many in this nation who's come to the realization that QE3 is a given. I mean, Chapman has certainly talked about this for a number of months, and I think that if QE3 is a given, then certainly 4 and 5, and like somebody jokingly said last week, or they made reference to QE18.
Yeah.
And I see no way out of this. You know, they talk about, well, gee, employment, the first-time employment applications were down this week, so further signification that the economy is getting stronger. And it, for who? The numbers don't jive, not one stinking bit. It just means fewer and fewer people maybe they're getting turned away. I mean, I know some people who've gone in and applied rightfully for unemployment benefits. They're being declined for some of the most ridiculous reasons. They're trying to, you know, make sure they keep those numbers low.
And but you have to remember, Jeff, I can just make a point on that, is that when they calculate this, my understanding is when they calculate the employment numbers, if your benefits run out, you drop off the rolls.
That's true. You become a member of the welfare rolls, but that's
right,
not unemployment.
Right, but then they don't count you as being unemployed anymore because they're not paying you benefits.
Absolutely.
So then that's how the numbers get manipulated. Okay, is that they've got all these people dropping off the world. You know, I was going to start off by saying, how are you tonight? How's your green shoots recovery going? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Right. How is your green shoots recovery going, America? You know? I mean, for the average person out there, there's no recovery. There's no recovery up here in Canada either. I mean, they keep talking numbers all the time and throwing these statistics around and 2% core inflation, and it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing to the average person. What means something is when you walk in the store and you all of a sudden you're shelling out 10 and 20% more for food and gasoline or whatever you're buying that you were last year.
But there's no inflation, of course.
Of course not. You know, I mean, look at John Williams over at ShadowStatsThere.com. He does the real numbers the way they used to be done back in the 1980s or before they changed.
Well,
they changed
and I gave some of his numbers last week.
Yeah.
Two issues that I've always really been angered about. One is the phony inflation numbers, which were modified during the early Reagan years. This goes back to after the Carter years, when inflation went crazy. Well, the Reagan administration comes in, and very shortly they changed the way and the manner that inflationary figures were given out, and because they took food and oil or heating gasoline-related products off the inflation figures. Everybody knows those are the two main drivers of inflation.
Exactly.
The second thing that was done, of course, came up during the Clinton years in 1996, and this became very clear with Shadow Stats, is that during the Clinton years, they changed the way the unemployment figures were given out. And Shadow Stats stated last week that if we were to go back to the pre-1996 mannerisms of calculating all of this, we would in fact find that our unemployment today is in excess, well in excess of 22% in the United States. Now, how does that equate to your numbers up in Canada?
We're probably running about the same thing. They're reporting 8-9% unemployment, and we know it's way higher than that. It's the same. It's directly proportional. You know, we're a little less than 1/10 the size of the States population-wise up here. And but you know, I live in a government town. It's the capital of Canada. It's Ottawa. So you know, it's like everybody's employed. Most of the town operates on government jobs. If they took those away, our real estate market would collapse in this town. You know, and it's the same thing as with the inflation rate. Apparently, he came out. I think it was him came out and said the real rates run at easily 10% or better, 9-10% or better. Has to be on inflation, you know.
Well, understandable. It's kind of spooky. You know, it's. I just had to shoot a quick note up to the producer. Everybody's so used to hearing various different people call in that as soon as I wind up taking a call from Bruce up in Ottawa, everybody else wants to call in too. And I had to say, no, Bruce is not a caller. Bruce is a guest on the program for the balance of the hour.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
And like I say, I really have no objections to taking callers. And a lot of you and I have discussed this, that an awful lot of hosts, that's what they do. They strictly just open up, they do callers. And that's fine. If that's what they do and that's what their format is, mine has been more to attempt to dispense information rather than getting into open discussion about it. Don't mind the discussion, but, you know. Let me hit you with a couple things. You had mentioned to me in one of your emails that you are a chartist. Now, is this something you do professionally or is this something you've just chosen to do as an investor? And specifically explain to the audience, what is a chartist?
Okay. Well, basically, first off, I'm not a professional in any capacity as far as chart technician or chart being a charting technician. It's just basically taking stock charts or precious metal charts or charts of anything and analyzing them using different indicators such as moving averages, or without getting technical about it, you look at a chart and you can tell by the patterns that are being formed on the chart where the price ranges should be and what the chart's trying to tell you. Now the charts are a reflection directly of what's going on in the price mechanisms in any particular market that you're looking at. So if you plot the price on the chart tells you whether the market's going up, down, or sideways. And that's basically there's more to it, but that's basically what it is. So, but I've been doing it for a number of years. And the reason I mentioned it to you in the email is that I see a particular situation happening that keeps reoccurring in it and in the precious metals, and I thought that you might be interested in discussing that with me. And that happens to be that every time these metals appear like they're going to go into a correction, they don't. And when they do go into a correction, like in the crash we had there, everything got sold off and everybody jumped into the U.S. dollar.
Right.
Even though, you know, everybody had to liquidate anything they had of value and just go to cash. The panic was that bad. Okay, fine. But funny thing, gold and silver performed remarkably well. They got smashed down, but they came back very quickly. And if you look, if you can find a 20-year chart on the internet of gold and silver, you go back, and especially the last 10 years, you'll see that, you know, in 2000, I mean, it's just been straight up. The trend is up. There's no question about it. And any pullback, you can see, doesn't get very deep anymore on these charts. They don't have these big pullbacks. What happens is that the investors step in and buy and drive the prices back up. So you have shorter and shorter periods of the prices pulling back, it seems, as we move forward in this bull market and as conditions worsen economically, especially with the United States.
I think we've all been seeing it. I mean, I, as you well know, I don't get on here five nights a week and sell, gold, gold, silver. It certainly finds a way of winding its way in general commentary somehow throughout the course of this program. But there's so many other things to get into, so many other things to discuss.
Sure.
But, you know, the 20 years I've done this professionally is one thing. From a personal standpoint, as I've often said, I've been an owner for over half a century. I've watched over the last 5-6 years some very, very interesting trends. Typically, January is a, you know, the post-Christmas thing is a very slow market as far as, shall we say, my business is concerned. Sales just drop off immeasurably. They then tend to pick up in February and part of March as we close in on April the 15th. Things seem to quiet down. Then people get tax returns and they pick it up. And I find that as a general rule, and I know that your charts are going to disagree with that, and I want your comment on it, but I have found as a general rule that the precious metals markets typically fall off by late May and remain that way until late August, just about the time we're starting to ramp up and get ready to go back to school. Everybody's vacation's over for the summer and Disney World, et cetera, et cetera. But I've begun to notice a very interesting trend the last few years, which according to your charts, seem to signify that we are now beginning to enter a moderately down period and somewhat of a slow, shall we call it a sales period, is it? Where am I understanding your commentary correctly?
More or less. I know there's seasonality to the metal cycles of the metals of gold and silver, and they are what you say they are, Jeff. I'm in complete agreement with that, and the charts always indicate that too. There always is a sell-off, a bit as a demand drops off for a period of a few months, but I think the point I was trying to make there was that I see that when the metals come down to a certain level, they'll drop down a bit. Demand seems to be there instead of them just coming down and wallowing around. And I'm quite sure that we'll still have our pullbacks and we'll still have our corrections and we'll still have our few months where it goes sideways or whatever. But there's so many other factors influencing these metals markets now, besides normal investor demand, or, you know, the Indian wedding season, so they're buying gold or whatever these things are that normally drive these markets, that and it all comes back to what you were talking about earlier, is like the strength of the U.S. dollar and the treasuries, the lack of faith in fiat currencies. You know, people are waking up and they're saying, where's the value? Where is the real store of value? Is it in paper assets or is it in physical assets? such as gold and silver. What's going to protect my money? And I think this is, and you know, and you're starting to get the larger hedge funds and investment groups like that are starting to come into these markets and buy from the long side. The banks aren't, the central banks aren't selling gold anymore. Remember they used to do that all the time and hammer the price down?
Oh, exactly. And yet they've been much, much bigger buyers over the last year. I recall a major pension fund, I think it's for the University of Texas, went on their manager strongly urged that they divest themselves of a lot of paper, and I believe they pumped 23 or 26% of their assets into physical gold, which was a real interesting shock. While we're here, and I purposefully did not give market reports on metals earlier in the program today, I wanted to wait until you were here. At present, in the aftermarket hours, rhodium is flat, holding at $2,350 an ounce. Rhodium doesn't do much, and it's one of those things that most of us will never think about. Palladium is up a dollar at $708 an ounce. Platinum up in the after hours, $5 at $1,701. Silver's up 19 cents, currently at $34.42, with gold at $1,405.80. Now, here's what's interesting. Boy, is it that time already? Better go to a quick break. Stand by. We're going to be back with a couple of final thoughts from Bruce. We'll be right with you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Back to the final moments of tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Our special guest this evening, Bruce from Ottawa. Bruce, before I allow you some closing comments, because we unfortunately run really short at this time, I want to share with our audience, the last 3 or 4 weeks has been excruciatingly busy here at Republic Trading Group, and those of our clients who have been gaining access to rather large amounts of silver and gold. A lot of it's been bullion, American Eagles and 1 ounce Buffalo pieces and Maple Leafs, both in gold and silver. And it just as much as they can possibly acquire. Brand new clients who've never, ever stepped into this market coming in with $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 at a time because they see the handwriting on the wall. But then all of a sudden the market begins to pull back. You've got to keep in mind, just 3 weeks ago, silver was at $33.90 an ounce. 2.5 weeks ago, gee, it hit 36. It's down to 34. So, oh, my God, it's down. I think it's going to tank. Why, I shouldn't buy anymore. What is your response to that mentality?
Well, I think first off is that, you know, unless you are a professional trader and you know exactly what you are doing, that type of mentality is what leads you to stay out of markets and shoot yourself in the foot. For the simple fact is, for the general average person, okay, that is just interested in investing to protect their money, the best way to go about these markets, and Bob Chapman has discussed this with you, and he's discussed it with Robbie Noel when he was on before, and he's discussed it with John for many years, is dollar cost averaging. You buy a little bit or as much as you can afford every so often, whether it's every month or every 6 months or whatever, and you accumulate at different prices. And over time, because we are in a roaring bull market and the prices are expected to go well beyond these levels in silver and gold that we're currently at, you will come out with an average price of what you paid, whether you paid $2 more for it this month or $4 less for it next month. You're going to come out with a sort of X amount of ounces at a certain average price, and it's called dollar cost averaging. And when you do it that way, so now when silver's at 30, don't forget, folks, in 2005, silver was trading at $7.80 an ounce. Gold was $430 in September. And that's when I first found out about the metal story. It was back in 2005. Actually, that's when I discovered Republic Broadcasting. And so look where we are now. And if you told people, and you told people that it's supposed to go to $50, they laughed at you. They said, you're nuts. We
Nobody's
just hit 36.
Nobody's laughing anymore. Yeah,
exactly. You know, so that would be my recommendation. Is that I have? Can I make one comment, Jeff? Because I think it's
really
important. Okay,
you've got seconds, but go ahead.
I'm looking at a chart of the U.S. dollar index right in front of me right now. It's sitting at about 76 cents, just a little bit above it. A few years ago, the U.S. dollar was worth $1.20 on the U.S. dollar index. Right now, it's at 76 cents, and it's been a little lower than this, and it's at a major support line, and they've been trying to sell it down all day. It cannot rally. Now, I ask you folks, if your dollar, the world reserve currency, cannot rally in the face of nuclear meltdown in Japan, Middle East oil crisis, oil prices starting to go through the roof, rampant food inflation, what is it going to take before you start to really believe what the folks are saying on these programs that you're listening to here at Republic Broadcasting? The dollar is in trouble.
I hate to do this. We got to do this again. We are flat out of time. The music man is there. Ladies and gentlemen, if any of this makes any sense, call us at 1-800-691-7898. Thanks to Bruce so much for joining us. Hope you'll come and do it again, Bruce. We'll talk soon.
They cannot be replaced. Oh, baby.
That's going to do it for tonight. I got to head on out of here. I got a 7-year-old's birthday party to go to. The good Lord sees fit to bring us together again. Well,
yes,
see you tomorrow.
I got you and all that jazz. And all that jazz.
Gold, ever climbing.